2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now the clocks have gone forward. Summer is on our doorstep, which is great, but with the brighter and warmer conditions, they can often disturb our sleeping patterns. And would you believe, according to a recent report, Irish people are amongst the most tired in the world when they're waking up. So how can we improve our sleep? And what are the signs that tell us we need to make some changes? Well, here to help us, I'm joined by expert in this particular area, Sheena Dunn. Sheena, I've been banging on about this all morning. Everyone is absolutely wrecked. We're going to get straight into it. What are the most common reasons why people struggle when trying to fall asleep and stay asleep throughout the night?
The main things are like racing mind. So what this is really common with parents of young children or like high performers, that would be one of the biggest challenges. So your racing mind, you can't calm down before sleep. Another one is circadian disruption. Okay. So this is your ability to fall asleep at the right time. You just literally aren't tired at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so you can't go to sleep. Another one is alcohol and caffeine. So using them at the wrong times of the day. Sleep pressure imbalance. So this is something we're hearing more and more people talk about. So a lot of people don't build enough sleep pressure, so then they can't fall asleep as well. Hormone imbalance is obviously another one, depending on your time of life.
There's so many.
Yeah,
here.
And I think what's really interesting about it is because there's so many, there aren't sort of one solution that will fix your problem.
Yeah.
So somebody might swear by something and that's brilliant. But unless you actually understand what your sleep challenge is, you're never going to be able to solve it with somebody else's solution.
It's higher level maths trying to figure this out, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, it's asking better sleep questions.
Yeah.
And what's exciting now is it used to be sort of 7 to 9 hours is what you have to sleep.
Yeah.
But it's less now about the duration and more about the quality.
Mm.
Now you have biphasic sleep, which is where, okay, say you can't get the right amount of sleep during the night. Say you do have young children or you do shift work. How can you complement that with maybe naps, caffeine, light? So I think it's about asking better questions for sleep to understand what the true challenge is.
Yeah. You mentioned there, like, obviously, about it, there's loads of different buzzwords. Sleep hygiene was a huge one that's kind of done the rounds. Can you explain what it is and how we can put that into practice?
Yeah, like sleep hygiene is like sort of skincare for your brain, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, say you just spent all your time doing cleanser, moisturizer, toner, but you ate like really bad food all the time.
Yeah.
So sleep hygiene is sort of the surface level basic things that they can help a lot of people. So to describe sleep hygiene, it's the environmental factors. So look at your bedroom, look at the light, the temperature of it, how comfortable your bed is, the pajamas you're wearing, the noise, these sort of things. So look at your environment. You look at what you might take during the day. So a lot of medications that people are taking do impact your sleep as well. And people sort of underestimate that. So you're looking at sort of what goes into your body during the day and your environment. But they're just sort of the basics. You need to get them right. And then if you've done all of that and you're still not sleeping, then there might be something more complicated going on.
Okay. It can be so incredibly annoying if you have, like, I'm actually going to throw Brian straight into the bus right now. Brian can just fall asleep by hitting the pillow, like, and he's gone, lights out. Whereas I have to have my eye mask. I need my pillows in a certain way. I need my blankets to be ice cold. I need my, like, clean pajamas going into it. I have to have the fan going on. Like, it's all of this. And he's just like, I have to have my white noise playing, like, all of these things. Yeah. And he's like, gone. And then I'm frustrated that he's gone to sleep quicker than I am the whole time. It's so annoying. Apart from being tired, are there any other signs that we are depriving ourselves of sleep?
I think everyone knows when they're not getting enough. My ability to fall asleep is going to be quite different to somebody else's. So signs that you have are your mood, the foods that you're choosing. So you will go for sugary foods, more carbohydrate-led foods, fattier foods if you are sleep deprived. Your ability to bounce back from small infections. So your immune system is really depleted by poor sleep. I think these are just sort of some of the high level things. Like, even after two nights of poor sleep, like, you do have an impact on your emotions and on your brain, on your memory recall. So, like, signs of sleep deprivation, it's most people are walking around and they're not getting enough sleep.
Yeah.
They're not getting enough quality sleep. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that the impact of poor sleep. Also, most people are pushing through. And what's really sort of difficult about that is we know now that you really can't just push through.
Yeah.
You really shouldn't. So you have to start seeking help or creating the right sleep environment.
Burning the candles at both ends is not going to do you any favours. Yeah. You mentioned there about naps a little bit earlier on in our chat. I'm assuming that you don't think they're a bad idea, that you do think that they are a good idea if you can't get the best quality sleep at night.
Yeah, so I actually own a company called Siest Sleep. So Siesta.
Like amazing.
So Siest, our whole focus is on how to get better sleep but without side effects.
Okay.
And I think naps are so underrated. When we set up the business like about 5 years ago, most people wouldn't hear of having a nap. This is in the medical space. Mm-hmm. Now what we're realising, and there's a new Harvard study that's just being done, that it's absolutely useful and productive to complement your maybe inability to get the right amount of sleep with naps. Now we're seeing ways to help people with shift work. Like parents are absolutely sleep deprived for like up to 10 years. So how are they surviving? And naps can be a really clever way to complement. I'm a massive nap fan.
Thank you. And I actually think we need to like clip this because and I need to show it to everybody because I am a huge napper. I actually think that's how I've gotten through my entire life. Yeah. I love a little nap. So I'm delighted to know now that it's been backed by science. There we go. We're happy out with that one. Exercise and obviously our diet. Like I know you mentioned earlier on a little bit about that. Like, can you get a bit more into that? Like what role do they play in making sure that we're getting a good night's sleep? Is it making sure that we've got obviously a healthy and balanced diet and moving enough so we're burning off enough energy during the day?
Yeah, so like this is where sleep sort of touches every part of our world really. And I think it's about building up that sleep pressure. And there is a few ways to build up sleep pressure. And one of them is moving more. So exercising, getting outside, getting the right light, and then the foods that you're eating. So absolutely, they're going to impact. I think you can overcomplicate it by sleep mocktails are another trending thing at the moment where people are, they're not thinking about their sleep during the day at all, but they're taking like a tart cherry juice drink at the end of the day and hoping that that will solve all their problems. Yeah. Like there are things you can do with diet, but it's quite straightforward. Yeah. Like follow good diet advice and you will sleep better. If you're drinking loads of coffee or loads of alcohol at the end of the night, like it's not going to help you.
Yeah, it's impacting your sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
What about banking our sleep? Like, is that something we can do? Like, can you catch up in your sleep at the weekend and then kind of, you know, have it in reserve for the rest of the week? Or is that just...
It'd be so lovely, wouldn't it?
It'd be so lovely.
And I don't know a person who doesn't do that, especially if they're in college or school. So you can't actually do it.
Okay.
You can't like have poor sleep for 5 days and then hope that that'll be resolved. In the same way, you couldn't do that with your diet.
Okay.
So I suppose that's the starting point. But say, for example, you are completely sleep deprived and you might need an hour or two extra on the weekend, and you find it doesn't impact your ability to fall asleep later that night.
Yeah.
Then go for it.
Okay.
What I do hear more people saying is they're getting more of the Sunday blues because they wake up later on a Sunday morning because they're trying to make up.
Yeah.
And what happens is they are then unable to fall asleep at the right time on Sunday. So their anxiety rises. So this is where it's you can't just pull all the levers and make it work. So what can you do that within your control that'll help you sleep better? And the things you can do is being really aware of your environment, being really aware of how good sleep starts in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't start the moment you hit the pillow and try to get to sleep. And then if you're noticing that you have to really catch up on sleep at the weekend, is there anything you can do during the week
to get an extra hour
to improve it? Exactly. Yeah. And just really focusing on prioritizing your sleep during the week as much as possible.
Are there any hacks for anyone who's listening right now who hasn't had a good night's sleep in God knows how long, because they can't remember back that far away because their mental ability has been so affected by their lack of sleep? Like, is there anything that they can do tonight, today, to help them fall asleep?
Yeah, great. Look, I hear you. We've just got a new puppy. I hear you about not sleeping. It's like having a baby again. So absolutely, there are things you can do. So say you have like... You can't fall asleep, so you have a racing mind and you're sitting there. So you can do breathing. You can do the 4-7-8 method, you know, where you breathe in, you hold it, and then you breathe out. Breathe in for 4, hold for 7, breathe out for 8. You can do journaling as well, just again to clear your mind or dim the lights. That's if you have a racing mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you're finding it hard to fall asleep. if you're finding it hard to cool down, so your body temperature is crucial for sleep. So about 90 minutes before you want to go to bed, have a warm shower. This will actually make your internal core cool down. So that will then help promote sleep.
This is incredibly helpful because I'm the warmest person going.
Okay.
So I will definitely be taking that one on board. So have a cool shower about an hour
and a half. Have a warm shower. Yeah, about
90
minutes. But then actually say you're still in bed and you're still unable to sleep, you can do like a cool dip.
Yeah.
So it's just cool your feet in.
Okay.
And that, again, it's all about getting your core temperature down. That's really important. If you've low sleep pressure, so again, this is about you're trying to build up your adenosine during the day to help you feel tired. Really look at the caffeine that you're taking during the day. Like, caffeine is a massive drug that we all take that can really impact your sleep depending on how you metabolize it. So if you, if you're just literally not tired at the end of the day, look at the levers you can pull are moving more.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to build up your adenosine. Look at your caffeine intake and then look at light. So get out early in the morning to sunlight in the morning. So get it into your eyes, not on your with your fancy sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Just literally get out early in the morning and get light in there. That'll help set your circadian rhythm then for the day.
And it's obviously getting a little bit easier now too with the, you know, with the fact that our days are longer.
Yes and no. So there's too much light in the evenings, which then makes it much harder for melatonin production. So we're
God, it's so complicated.
Yeah, it is. Ireland is actually in a really difficult country though for sleep, and I hate that the clocks change, because it doesn't help actually at all. But so in terms of hacks, look at again, what is your challenge? Trouble falling asleep, your racing mind, look at journaling and breathing and calming. Can't cool down, look at the shower element. Low sleep pressure, look at moving more, getting more light.
Okay. Yeah, I think you've like covered the basis of absolutely everyone there. Very finally, at what point should someone decide that they should consult a professional if they just cannot get to sleep?
Say 3+ nights a week for more than 3 months.
Okay.
If you're having poor sleep, but crucially that it's impacting you in the daytime. So is it impacting your ability to do your job, your relationships, your health? It has to be for that really amount of time and that frequent for it to be deemed more of a medical condition.
Okay.
Things like restless leg, sleep apnea, which is the breathing related disorder. So some hearing someone sort of semi-choking or someone snoring an awful lot, there are signs of it. I think that's the real measure of it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be pushing through for 3 nights a week for more than 3 months. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, you don't need to do that.
You don't need to, exactly. Yeah. And no over-the-counter medication will help you on that. You truly need to go and see. So go to your GP.
Sheena, thank you so much for coming in today. Hopefully we can all sleep a little bit better after that and all your lovely tips. That was sleep expert Sheena Dunn, who specialises in the area with her company Siest Sleep. We'll be right back after these.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.